Lord God, we thank you of your presence. We thank you of your Holy Spirit. I thank you of your words. I thank you of your teaching for each one of us, Lord God. I thank you for the word that you have given me to share this morning. Lord God, I'm your servant. Use me, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that words will bring life and bring hope, strengthen our faith. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. So, I think for both Steve and myself, the sense of the message that God has been speaking to us the last few months has been the kingdom of God. For Steve and for myself. And it's like what he shared last week. He has the message for a few months. And this message has been in me for a few months too. And both of us thinking we'll be preaching about that around December time. But it didn't happen, whatever. It just led into, now we're sharing that in the January. And Steve keep saying to me, I want to share with you. He keep wanting to share with me what God was speaking to him. And I said, no, don't. I don't want to hear it. Because one sense is sometimes if we keep talking about it, it's almost like we're trying to there's a beauty in when we don't share it and God speaks the same words. That's the best I could describe it. And he shared his word last week, the unexpected kingdom. And then from that, God really spoke to me about the unexpectedness of it. And it matched so well with what God has been speaking to me. You know that this is from God, not man's knowledge or understanding. And I get really excited because we haven't been talking about the message. We talk about other things. We do talk to each other. That it make me excited about this message from God that we are sharing. But it matches so well, even though we haven't been talking about it. So as we're talking about the kingdom of God, we talk about kings. There's many facets of God. And when we are praying or when we're reading the scriptures, when we think about God, who's God? Who is God? God is almost like there's many facets. We will be thinking of him as our savior, our redeemer, our healer, a provider, a defender, our teacher, our friend. He's the Lord and he's the King. And there are many times when we are praying, we will, or, you know, like when we're thinking, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And we know that in us, that even the Lord's Prayer, we said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's his kingdom and he is our King. And then many scriptures in it, in Revelation 17, 14, they will make war on the Lamb and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And we also have beautiful scriptures in Psalm 47, 6-9. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And then we also have 1 Timothy 6:15. At just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. As we meditate or really soak in those words, just really think about it. God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. In our world now, most of the countries in the world, most of them don't have kings anymore. Most of them are more of a democracy type of environment. So the mindset of kingdom or kings is quite far away. And the few that still have kings, I'm talking about kings that actually have all the power and authority of the nations. Most of them that have, those nations that have them, mostly are in Middle East. And they have full power. I know in UK, they have a royal family. They have the queen. But we know they don't have the full power and authority. They have certain power and authority. Even this week with the news of Prince Harry and his wife wanting to live a different type of life. And then you have the uproar of the people in the country and all the news coming up. They don't have the power and authority to say that they want to live whatever way they want. And we can talk about in history, in times, there are kings that whatever they say, that's it. But we don't live in that environment anymore. We live in, people have a right. We have human rights. We have a right to vote how our country wants to be. And those are great if they're voting for good things, like no slavery, protections of our children, protection of different peoples, and educations, like good things. But then as time is coming into this time now, people are voting for things that we don't agree with. So those human rights and the right to vote and the rights for whatever they think is the right thing actually did not quite sit well anymore. It almost like those things became something that they're so overpowering. The voice is so much bigger. We know the last few elections in Ireland, they definitely voted off things that we don't agree with. And how is the world is going to get darker and darker? They're coming into the education system. Will those voices be getting darker? And then as we look at the scriptures, God is still God. And we're saying, God, he is the King of Kings. A king on earth still need to submit to God, who is the King of all kings. It doesn't matter how much power they have. As long as they don't submit under God, they're against God. And they might be making rules and laws that's against God. In the dark time, as we're living in Christians, it might feel the world's, the voices is louder. It seems to be getting darker. But God said we are the light, and God said he's still the king. He's still the king of all nations. If we turn off every light here now, and it's dark outside, it's nighttime, and I turn on my little torch, I have a torch on my phone. If I turn it on, you'll see the light. Let me just do that. Torch here. There you go. You can see a light now. But what about when it's really dark? When we're complete darkness, what will you draw to the most? Will this feel lighter? Yes. And that's God's saying that's who we are. It doesn't matter how dark the world is getting, we are his light. And it doesn't matter how dark the world is with the rules and the regulations and people making laws, God is still God. He's still king. He's still king of all kings. I would like to show a little YouTube clip. If Adam could organize that, please. This actually clip was, Kai was going to use that last year when he came to preach, Caleb's daughter. And, he was talking about how Caleb and Joshua, they were the two of the spies out of the 12 that believed in God when they were going into the promised land. They spied out the land, and they were the only two that came back with good reports. But because of the other 10 spies gave a bad report, and the rest of the Israelites actually believe in the 10 spies, and all of those people, the masses of voices of the people turn around and say, we can't do this. We won't be able to do it because the enemy is too big. So their voice was so loud, and the two voices of Joshua and Caleb, they end up having to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. But in that 40 years, Caleb did not just moan and complain and get angry at the people. He actually trained up the next generations. And this is the clip that Kai was going to use, but he forgot to use. And that really spoke to me in a sense of, as this message is going, we actually get the history, God's history. It is a history of Christianity, but it is the part that is from after the Bible. God is still writing his story. He's still God. And there's a lot of the promises in scriptures we saw that fulfilled. Like when the last word of Revelations in the last chapter, in the last verse, God didn't stop working. So this is the history we will see in the world and the map of the world of God's work. And some of those scriptures say God is the God of all nations. We see that. God is the God of all kings. We see that. So, now in the left-hand corner, you will actually see the date, and the years keep going, moving really fast. And this is the spread of Christianity over the world. It started with just Israel. So the white bit would be the Christianity from Israel. The red bit is the Roman Empire. Orange now became the Byzantine Empire. Christianity is spreading. Green bit is the Islam. Now that looks like Christianity is shrinking, but it's still spreading. It come back and then spread again. And it spread further and further. As persecution come, Christian have to move away. The purple is the Mongols. Yeah, Christianity is still there when it shrink back, but it still moves back out. As you see the dates moving, Christianity is spreading out to America, South America, and the rest of Europe and Asia. And then you have the communists. Now this is the end. It's very dramatic music. And I know that even some of those the white bits in India or different countries, they're still very persecuted. But people are going to those nations, and there are believers in all those nations. And even in the Middle East, there are people giving their life to Jesus every day. They know they will lose their life, but Christianity is alive. It's spreading. And as we see the time scale of it, God is moving. Even when Christianity shrunk back. When I see that, I just say, Lord, I'm seeing your scriptures alive. There's somebody actually putting a chart, the chart of how Christianity spread out. And that's not even including the Old Testament time of how God, some of those words, the scriptures, were God saying, I am God. Like some of the scripture I read this morning, like one of them was Psalm. That was David who wrote it. God is the king of all the earth. God reigns over the nations. And that's a powerful image of us as we're seeing things happening in the world, whether it's in Middle East, or when we're seeing the world is making all these laws that's against Christians' faith. But it builds in our hearts and in our heart, in our spirit and say, Lord, I can see you moving. I can see you moving even when I can't see it. But when we chart it over a period of time of the history, God is still God. Our days are like grass. In Psalm 103:15, as the man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it. Was it one of the hymns was saying, with a worship song singing, it's like, what was that? It was there this morning. It's like a shooting star. It's just come and gone. But God is God. He's forever, and his time is so much bigger and so much larger than our own human eyes can understand. God gave me, maybe a practical way of understanding it. It's like a photograph. When you take a photograph, you'll take that split second as you press the button. You have a record of that photo. But that photo does not capture time. It does not capture seasons. Like if you take that photo 10 seconds later, it might change because a bird might flew into the sky. And that photo will be totally different. If you're taking that same photo in a different season, it'll be different. And if you're talking about maybe 100, 200 years, the buildings will be different. So our life is almost like that snapshot of that time. And if we only focus on that, we're missing out on so much more. And that snapshot or the photograph is still have a boundary of the scale of the screen of how much you can take. If you take a picture of a garden, the frame of that picture, but it goes beyond. There's a limit of how much you can capture in that photographs. But sometimes we focus so much on just that bit and forgotten God is so much more. God is so much more on the in the time scale of the past and the present. He's the beginning, he's the end. He's the God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth. This is in Acts 17. He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided that beforehand when they should rise and fall. And he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. When we see God working in history, in a bigger, longer time frame, it helps us to build faith. And wherever we are now, God is always working. Even just as the scripture say we are like grass, but also scripture also say God knows how many hairs on our head. That means whatever problems we have, if he's holding the whole earth, he's also holding each one of us in the palm of his hands. And he cares about our troubles. He cares our worries. And he cares about what's happening in the world. I was reminded of this scripture this morning as we're thinking about history. This is in Isaiah 66. This is a scriptures that actually really cover a lot of how God will fulfill his promises and a history of things that was prophesied, and we see it happen. But also actually God can use it for our own as well. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Thus say the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things come to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And then carry on in verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who cause to bring forth shut the wounds, says your God? That was Isaiah. And we know that those words really meant how God brought forth Israel. How many thousands of years was that, those words written before it was 1948 when God brought forth Israel as a nation? And where was Israel before that happened, before 1948? They've lost all territory. They don't even have a land. If we are thinking of Christianity, shrink back. What about those first? They lost their land. They lost everything. They didn't even have a nation. They were all scattered everywhere. And those words say God brought them back to Israel. And in one day, God made a nation. In one day. Who can actually imagine that will ever, ever happen? Thinking about the Second World War, when the Jewish people were being persecuted, and every country, every nation, the leaders would not open the borders. When they were being persecuted and murdered and killed in Germany, I believe that God was working the same time. Like sometime I was thinking of like, all those leaders shut the doors. That was horrible. But I'm thinking of like, was that actually God? If they actually opened the borders and let them in, would the Jewish people want to go to Middle East and live in the place? No. They won't. So I was thinking of like, was it God's hand to actually close those borders of all those different countries? So they have to force to go somewhere that they can go, and God use it, and within one day, and using people on earth, God birthed forth a nation. And that is the God that we have. But funny thing is, in these those verses is the same words that God gave Steve. When I was pregnant with Jonathan, God lent me those verses. God gave them to Steve, and then Steve shared that with me. Because when I was pregnant with Jonathan, I already have quite a few surgeries on my stomach, and I also have cesarean with Matthew. And I was going through pregnancy. I said, I don't want another cut. I just can't take it anymore, my body. I'm saying, I don't want it. And God gave those words. So the word that I keep holding on to is Shaddai, who caused to bring forth just the wind. And I'm thinking of like, okay, what are the other words? Before the pain came upon her, she delivered a son. And also, the speed of it. As soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her child, her children. So I was holding to maybe it would just happen. God lent me those words. And that's exactly what happened. I was in labor. I didn't know about it. I thought I have, you know, indigestion. And within a few hours, he just came out. So those words became very personal to me. At that time, we didn't even know about Israel, how God actually used these scriptures to brought forth his country. If we have known, we might have been calling Jonathan Israel. But God brought me back to that verse this morning when I was in the car before church started. And I'm thinking of like, Lord, not only are your words true, all those years ago when you brought forth your nation, but you can actually use your scriptures and we relate to it. And your word still is true, whether it's for our personal lives. And that gave me so much peace and so much hope and so much faith when we are in a world that we see so much darkness, when we are in a world that we see everything is like, what's going on? You have the fire in Australia. You have all the things happening in Middle East. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're still Lord. You're still God. You're still the King of all kings. And I just encourage everyone. I believe it's God to say, be encouraged. Don't let just what we see have the final say. But let the word of God be the anchor to our soul that we hold on to. Whether we're seeing in our own personal life or whether we're actually seeing what's happening in the world and what are the world leaders doing. Ultimately, whether they know God or not, God is still in control. Look at all the empire that were once so bright. They were so large. They were so powerful. But they're no longer powerful. Look at all the empire, the Roman Empire. They don't have the Roman Empire anymore. Thinking about the British Empire, they don't have the British Empire anymore. Sorry, Steve. Thinking about what happened in the First World War, Second World Wars, they're all different now. So now, here we are, in this time, this moment, God is using us to stand as his light, to stand as his people, and continue to trust him and declare who he is. To remind ourselves who he is each day, he is God. He is King. I just want to pray. Did you want to share something? In Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 7, with the Church of the Philadelphia, it's a big chapter. The words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the world, the earth. I am coming soon. This is the key. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Hold fast what we have. Hold fast what we have. We have the Word of God. We have God, His holy presence. We have Holy Spirit who dwell in each one of us. Hold fast. Hold on to it. Take our heel in. In the early churches, believers, there was a period of time, the Roman Empire. Nero was one of the leaders. He was more like, he actually believed he was God. He was burning Christians, using them as human candles. It's almost like mockery to Jesus' words when Jesus said, "You are the light." And Nero was using Christian and burning them. If you say you're Christian, they will get strapped up and they will just get burned. And they were using them like human candles. But you know what? If they renounce Jesus, they don't have to do it. They don't have experienced that same thing. But what do? They hold fast what they have. They refuse to let go. I don't want to focus of Nero did. I want to focus of what those believers did. I want to focus on they held fast to what they have. They refuse to let go of their faith. That is what I understand at Hold Fast. We have magazines and all the news from Open Doors of a lot of Christians all over the world being persecuted. Why would they actually experience persecutions? Because of their faith. But they hold fast. We don't experience that in Ireland. But we can pray for them. We can pray, Lord, strengthen their faith. We can pray, Lord, you are so good. Empower them to not let go, Lord God. Empower them to know who you are, Lord God. Hold fast. Let us hold fast to what we have. So, Lord God, we praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you of who you are. We thank you of your love that never fails. We thank you, Lord God, of your love that we do not have to fear what's happening in the world, because love casts out all fear, and you are love. We thank you, Lord God, that we are your light, and we'll hold fast to your truth. Your word is the lamp that guides our feet, our path. Let us shine brightly for you, Lord God. Let us hold fast to you, Lord God. Let us intercede for other brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, Lord God. Let us continue to declare who you are, Lord God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. We thank you, Lord God. We sing praises to your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. I would like, John, would you be able to play a song for us? Geraldine is upstairs.
This is one of the paintings which Eric did last summer. Okay, and I really believe that it's an image of what Lorinda's been sharing about today. Okay, throughout history, okay, people have tried to eradicate the Christian faith. People have tried, they've burnt Bibles, they've tried to wipe out the church, they've tried to turn off the light of Jesus Christ in this world. But as Lorinda's been sharing there, throughout history, they have failed. And I believe that this is an image not only relevant to history, but it's an image which is relevant to our lives as well. The world around us is trying to wipe out our faith. The world around us is trying to eradicate that light which God has placed within us. And each one of us, I believe, at times in our lives, feel that pressure. But they've never succeeded. As Lorinda said there, his light continues to shine bright in the darkness, be it in history or be it in our own lives, be it in this country or in this world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God. They will not succeed. Be encouraged, as Lorinda said. Be encouraged and hold fast. I know it can be tough. Don't give up. Amen.